Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to a Monday night edition of Sports Day. Jared and Sam have the night off, so Shane McGuinness with you for the next hour. Matthew Lloyd to join me in just a moment, but what an afternoon in Sydney. Collingwood defeating the Demons by 17 points, and Nathan Buckley farewelling the Magpies with back-to-back wins. It was a remarkable performance, and both Melbourne and Collingwood fans, we invite you to come and join us. 13 13 32 is the number. 13 13 32. Maybe it's not all doom and gloom for the Pies. And D's fans, are there just starting to be a few chinks in the armour? 13 13 32, keen to hear from you. Shortly, we'll also go inside the Collingwood rooms as well. However, there is massive breaking news in the AFL when it comes to the round 14 fixture. There was hope that there would be games in Melbourne next week. We had our fingers crossed. We thought finally crowds would be back in Melbourne. Bad news. They're not. There will be no crowds and Melbourne matches next week. In fact, both matches scheduled to be in Melbourne at Marvel Stadium and at the MCG have been moved to Tasmania. What about Geelong, you ask? Well, Geelong and the Western Bulldogs will go ahead at Simmons Stadium in Geelong. However, there will be no crowd at that match. I should say GMHBA Stadium. So, just to recap, no crowds at Melbourne games next weekend. North Melbourne and Brisbane will be moved from Marvel Stadium down to Blundstone Arena in Hobart. Hawthorn and Essendon on the Sunday, 3:20 game, will no longer be played at the MCG. It will now be played at UTAS Stadium in Launceston in front of a crowd. And Friday night's blockbuster, Geelong and the Western Bulldogs. Remember, this is regional Victoria where they've had no coronavirus cases. There will be no crowd at GMHBA Stadium on Friday night. There's another big story. It involves David McKay. I'll get to that in a moment. But first, Matthew Lloyd is here. Lloydie, welcome to you. What a day, not only just of football, but also of news with regards to the fixture and David McKay.
Yeah, it's been a big on-field and off-field change. So remarkable scenes there. Emotional scenes, actually, for me, not even being a Collingwood person, but watching Nathan Bay. He's just a class act. So obviously that was the story on-field, Melbourne being beaten like they did to a hungry Collingwood side. But yeah, the big news off-field, I thought McKay was quite big, but this news, yeah, just shows the world we're living in at the moment with COVID and obviously no crowds again for another week. And big chance for Tasmania. Only 3,300 people there for North and the Giants, but you'd think they'd fill both of those games in Tassie.
It's a significant change to what we were led to believe 24 hours ago, whereby we thought that coming in, all right, the AFL wanted 50%. Maybe that was overs. But you thought 25% at the MCG, that's still 25,000 for Hawthorn and Essendon, 12,500 at Marvel for a game, no offence, North Melbourne, but they do get smaller attendances, so 12,500 for North Melbourne and Brisbane. Then all of a sudden we have the rug pulled out, no footy in Melbourne. And I've got to admit, Lloydie, I find it bewildering that in regional Victoria, of which Geelong is, Geelong and the Western Bulldogs will be played in front of no one.
Yeah, my brother's had a footy there and I was talking to him last week. He said, oh, my kids are living, they're doing their sport, yep. They're living normally, they're at school and all those sorts of things. So so it's just, what's the reason for that, Shane? Is there a reason for particularly the Friday night game in Geelong, why we couldn't at least had 50% just to start off and build up from there? Is there anything around that, extra news in that?
I'm just reading from a media release, and this has literally just come off the presses from the AFL. Geelong and the Western Bulldogs will continue to be played at GMHBA Stadium with no crowds as per current Victorian government advice. This decision to continue to play this match at GMHBA Stadium was made in consultation with the home team and was in line with their preference not to move the game. You can understand that from a Geelong point of view, given how close the eight is. You don't want to have to travel. You want to play at home. I find that incredibly odd that they can't have a crowd, even without Melbourne fans being able to go down the highway. Mm. I mean, you've got a heap of Geelong fans and even Western Bulldogs fans coming from regional Victoria. They'd easily get 25 to 50% crowds there.
Yeah, and we're getting to a point, obviously, you know, for say like a team like Richmond who's been on the road for 3 weeks, at least clubs like Essendon, I suppose Hawthorn were up in Sydney, get back, say finally we can get back to Melbourne. Suddenly you're heading back to Tasmania. So I reckon last year players, you know, thought they were going for 30 days, ends up being 100. I reckon there's going to be, yeah, we see Seb Ross and Tim Membry come back, not play. I just wonder if we're going to, if it drags on for too much longer, I reckon we'll see a lot more players decide, you know, that's not for them to keep being away and on the road from their families.
And I think players, as you say, just not just Tim Membry and Seb Ross, but already expressing, I'm happy to go away for a couple of weeks, but we've got to get home. And I think most would have been pretty hopeful that they would have seen footy back in Melbourne this week. We'll take your calls in a moment. 96900 693 1313 32. So that's one of the big stories of the day, Lloydie. We've touched on Collingwood. That's a massive story today. The other involves David McKay and his bump on Hunter Clark. Now, just give me a moment to try and surmise what the AFL has done today. Last night, the AFL said the notice of charge had been referred directly to the tribunal, that the incident was ungraded. Well, 24 hours makes a pretty big difference, because now the AFL says it will argue that, and I'm quoting here, regardless of whether McKay was contesting the ball, bumping the player, or both, he still contravened the general prohibition on unreasonable conduct, including in contesting the ball. Now, the AFL will further contend that there was high contact and that the impact was severe, and that under tribunal guidelines should result in a minimum 3-game suspension. So, Lloydie, the AFL has not only changed its assessment less than 24 hours later, it's also effectively said it doesn't matter if you're contesting the ball, if you make unreasonable contact with an opponent, you're responsible. And it feels like last night's grenade from the AFL has almost gone nuclear this afternoon. And you almost have to feel for David McKay, because it feels like his legal team now has to defend something he and other players felt was legal going into this past weekend.
Yeah, just to read something like that where, you know, regardless of if he was contesting the ball, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. What else do they want David McKay to do in that sense? Steve Hockey may as well just come out and say, if you enter a contest and you hurt a player, you're gone. You may as well change the rule to that. Doesn't matter if it was accidental or not, because I'm still sitting here and saying, the Byron Pickett days are over. Michael Long on grand final day in 2000, he just pulverised Troy Simmons, could have broken his neck. All those days we saw Wicks on hit Will Day on Friday, straight away, that's just how you can break a player's neck. That must go. But when David McKay just, I don't know what else he was meant to do. He committed to the contest. It was accidental. Yes, the player has a broken jaw. He contested the ball, though. So I think it'll be more, in my mind, when the tribunal gives him nothing, where Steve Hocking's going from here and what he's trying to get to.
So, and your argument is pertinent. The fact that it seems as though the AFL, in protecting the head trauma and concussion, wants this kind of action of David McKay to be outlawed, not to be there. However, how is that fair on David McKay when, coming into this weekend, he was under the impression that as long as I contest the ball, all's fair in love and war? Yeah. So is it almost a case of, all right, McKay gets cleared here, then Steve Hocking has to come out and go, all right, there is a new rule book now. There is a new precedent that if you go in to contest the ball, but you still make high contact and make unreasonable contact, you're gone no matter what.
Yeah, the first part where you said high contact, if he says, even if you're contesting the ball and you make high contact, you got sure he asked me before, he goes, what if they both go in similarly, Hunter Clark, because Hunter Clark led with his head. McKay did what I would be teaching young players, protect yourself and turn. Lachie Plowman's I thought was okay, but I the angle of he didn't put a fist out to try and spoil, that goes against him. I thought he did a lot right, but he didn't put his fist out, so that went against him. In the McKay sense, he sort of turns to get protect, and they hit the ball at the same time, so I'm not so much, and I was talking to Kane Corns about Dave McKay, and he said he's been criticised in Adelaide for a long, long time, for over a decade, for not being hard enough at the footy. So do we want him to sort of be hesitant? And then Hunter Clark wins the footy, dances around him, and you go, gee, what's Dave McKay doing? So you've got to commit. You've got to commit. And I don't think he was reckless in his attempt to win the ball. I thought he did, couldn't have done much else, and yeah, I don't think he goes for this.
The fact that, you're right, he's gone hard at the contest. Yeah. He hasn't shirked it. If he decided to pull up, because he was running in at speed, if he decided to pull up and just let Hunter Clark get it, then every analyst in the game is going to be, David McKay's weak.
Yeah.
That you can't be doing that. That's an insipid effort. Instead, he's now looking at three games out of the game.
Yeah, and he committed and did the right thing. You know, he didn't commit and just say, I'm going to take Hunter Clark out. He committed. The ball was there. Yeah, he protected himself just to turn his body. And it was an accidental head knock, which caused a broken jaw. Serious injury. We feel for Hunter Clark. But I'm not sure what else Dave McKay could have done in that situation.
13-13-32 is the number. Come and join us, whether it is about the rescheduling of matches for round 14. Hawthorn and Essendon, North Melbourne and Brisbane, no longer in Melbourne. Both moved down to Tasmania. Geelong and the Western Bulldogs still to be played at GMHBA Stadium on Friday night, but no longer in front of a crowd. There will be no one in attendance. Give us a call on the David McKay instance. How do you see it? Do you think it changes the fabric of the game? Is it good that we're trying to get these head-high knocks out? And then it comes down to Collingwood and Melbourne. Lloydie, I mentioned in my intro, just as you were coming in from the broadcast with 3AW, great call this afternoon. Are we starting to all of a sudden see a couple of chinks in Melbourne's armour? Two wins, two losses from the last 4 weeks. They go down to a side, Collingwood, that seemed down and out. Their coach is leaving, for goodness sake. And yet they go down today, the Demons. And then conversely, Collingwood, are they necessarily as bad as everyone thought? And is it all doom and gloom?
Collingwood have got a lot of guys under 10 games, so they'd be excited about that, Shane. But I'm not ready to go there with Melbourne. What Simon Goodwin want to talk to him about is their starts. So I think that they've been poor against Brisbane, got out of jail. Obviously poor today to start. Didn't get out of jail. And the week before against Adelaide, they came back hard but got done in the end. So they've got to sort that out. But I reckon you can't be up for 22, 23 weeks. Even in the year 2000, one of the most dominant sides that we ever saw in Essendon, we fell into a bit of a hole. But we were four games clear on top. And so just naturally, you drop off slightly. And I reckon Melbourne, they're going fine. But I reckon a few teams are starting to lower their eyes, going inside 50, not bombing it long. So we're watching Melbourne more and more, and we're finding ways that you can beat them. And I thought Collingwood planned really well. They didn't get caught kicking it long and high. They were measured with their ball movement, and they got the points. It was a ripper win. Their pressure was outstanding today, Collingwood.
Yeah, what a way for Nathan Buckley to go out and Robert Harvey to take the helm from round 14 onwards. We'll take a break on Sports Day. Your calls on the other side, but hoping to go inside the Collingwood rooms too after that wonderful win over Melbourne today by 17 points at the SCG. You're listening to a Monday night edition of Sports Day.
Ball's on its way, if it holds its line, it's going to hold its line. Now it's difficult for Melbourne. Pendlebury goals.
And Sidebottom will go back and line them up. Sidebottom's lining up the shot for goal after the siren. Collingwood lead by 11. And he makes it 17. What a way to finish.
Sports Day on this Monday evening. Shane McGuinness alongside Matthew Lloyd, Jared and Sam back with you from 6 tomorrow night. What a win it was for Collingwood this afternoon. Nathan Buckley's 478th as a player and coach with the Collingwood Football Club. He goes out with a win, the captain of the Collingwood Footy Club. Kind enough to join us from inside the SCG. I speak of none other than Scott Pendlebury. Scott, congratulations on the win tonight. I can only imagine, though, mixed emotions. Great to have a win, but also farewelling a great of the club.
Yeah, it definitely is. It was, even, you know, the other day, it was since we all found out, it has been a little bit of a weird week, and we sort of acknowledge that and, you know, trying to go through your normal team meetings and preparation and knowing that every day for Bucks was his last time doing something as a coach, it was extremely different. But, I felt like we built on the back of last week's win. We defended really well. It was a great win. It really was great to send Bucks off like that.
Scotty, congratulations today on your game as well. You were absolutely brilliant. I saw you when you were door-stopped at the club and you said, I'm numb, or there was a bit of shock I could sense when you just heard the news. How are you feeling now, and did Buck speak to you guys after the game?
I suppose how I'm feeling now is I'm pretty buggered after a game. And as I said, it's probably really a good thing that we're up here in Sydney, that we get to spend a bit more time with Buck. And I think it will... Yeah, look, I've never been through it, but I feel like it will be a little bit weird tomorrow when we go into the club and he's not there, his office, and you look in, he's not in his office, the guy that you sort of look at and you know he's been here for 10 years, he's been here basically my whole career as assistant coach, or first office player, assistant coach. So, we move forward obviously now and he'll be on the outside looking in, and he spoke about that just before, that he's going to support us. He's, you know, now he's a supporter and he's going to be looking in and wishes us all the best.
I know you've got ambitions to coach, haven't you, after footy?
Well, I don't know if I do after this week.
What would you take away from Nathan Buckley? Say, for example, if you do coach your own team one day, what is some traits of Nathan that you'd take away?
I think, I spoke to Buck about this week. The trait for me is his ability every day to come in and get to work and stay true to himself and his beliefs. His character is first class. And even through this week, how he handled it with the club, he's always putting other people first. And that is the quality of a champion.
Fantastic. The last 2 weeks, Scotty, I know the criticism's come on the club in the way you've played your footy in terms of always being in games, but going laterally. I saw there was a pass to you from Johnny Noble straight down the corridor, and then you hit Darcy Cameron magnificently well. Was that adjusted a little bit, slightly at all, over the last 2 weeks to start to take those options?
I think they've been there, the options. I think our skill execution is just improving. And no doubt it's taken too long to improve and to get to the level. I feel like the last month, really, we've been building against Port Adelaide, lost by a point. The Cats, who were playing really good footy, lost by 10 points. And then to get over the line last week was really important. And I think, too, the element that never gets spoken about is, when you're sitting at 2-9, your confidence isn't high. And you can't just, walk into the kitchen and have a drink with confidence. You've got to action it. And I feel like last week gave us a bit of confidence. Tonight will give us confidence going to the bye and then come out of the bye and see how we go.
Now you're 4-9. Does things change for you of what you could achieve? Obviously not to play finals. You're too far out of it. But what's the last 2 weeks done for you to say now what could potentially happen for the rest of this season?
Yeah, well, I think for us it's just we just want to keep building on what we're doing. I thought out there tonight was I think we have 30 scoring shots against probably the number one ranked defense in the game or if not top four. So. Just that to play a brand of footy like that is very exciting. It's nice to play and you feel like you're going to be dangerous. So if we can keep, trying to deliver that'd be fantastic, but just keep taking the next step.
Scott, does a win like that, especially for a relatively young group, bring in confidence going into the back end of the year? You've got the bye next week that you can almost reset and go, hold on, we can match it with the best in the competition. I'm thinking of players like McCreary, Poulter, Lynch, those that may not have had the success that you've had previously in your career.
I don't think it's been an issue of matching it with the best. I think it's understanding what the game requires and backing the skill and, even walking off with Poults, he was filthy on himself for missing a couple of easy snaps that he thought he should have kicked. And I said to him, that's speed of the game. You'll get used to that. So I think in the back half of the year, when you see our young guys, I think that will just come. Game one to game 12 is a big step, and you're starting to get more confidence, and that will happen in the back part of the year. And I feel like as a group, we're starting to get used to each other's tendencies and what we need to do. But in this game, you've got to be able to do it every week. And in the first half of the year, we haven't been able to, but hopefully we can build on that in the second half of the year.
Scotty, where are you going to play for the rest of the year? Because you've been moved around a little bit of late. It's been nice seeing you back in the midfield at times, half back. You've been as clean as ever, but you even kicked a beautiful goal late. So where do you reckon you play under Robert Harvey for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think it'll be a combination of back and midfield. I sort of got moved forward. I know Bucks spoke about it, but I split my finger open the day before the Sydney game. So, I had a guard on and it was a bit messy. So I think for a few weeks I was forward more out of a sort of an injury that I was trying to carry through. But I think now will be that midfield and half-back role for me.
Do you think that pressure you've applied today on Melbourne, that's as good as you've applied all year on anyone?
Yeah, I think so. And I think their midfielders do give you a chance in terms of, they back their strength to try and take on the tackle. So it was something we focused on. It was trying to take away Petrarca and Oliver, who are very clean. You can tackle them and they'll still get rid of it. So I was trying to tackle them and then cut off the receiver. I thought we were able to maintain the rage in that regard. And eventually, from our tackle pressure, we would get some turnovers and went back and scored.
Scott, congratulations on the win this afternoon. Was thrilling and no doubt warms the cockles of many a Collingwood fan, especially as you farewell Nathan Buckley. Enjoy the evening and thanks for your time on 3RW on Sports Day.
Okay, thanks guys. Appreciate it.
Scott Pendlebury joining us on Sports Day, all with thanks to Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy and the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. Just on what he had to say then, Lloydie, in terms of going into the back half of the year, do you think they'll change much under Robert Harvey?
We spoke to Graham Wright pre-game, and he said he was great. He was very honest, and he said, well, I've already spoken to Robert. There's probably a few little things he'd like to do, but you can't change a game plan in a week. So it'll be pretty similar. He might have different players. He wants to play in different roles. Give Robert a few wins of what he wants to do, but the game plan won't change too drastically.
Your call's coming up. We've got a Spinal Ease pillow to give away. Visit spinalease.com.au. A magnificent pillow for our best caller, 13 13 32. Your call's next on Sports Day. News from the match review officer. Shane Mumford from the Giants has been charged with misconduct against Taron Thomas during the second quarter of their match yesterday. In summary, he can accept a $1,000 sanction, a little bit different to what David McKay is facing. He will face the tribunal on Thursday night. The AFL calling for a 3-game ban. Also, if you're just tuning into Sports Day for the first time tonight, the big news this evening surrounding the Round 14 fixture. There was immense hope that we'd have crowds back at the footy this week, even if venues were at 25% capacity. That will not happen. North Melbourne and Brisbane scheduled for Marvel Stadium on Saturday twilight. That has been relocated to Blundstone Arena in Hobart, and Hawthorn and Essendon at the MCG Sunday afternoon. Would have been a ripping game for Melburnians to attend. They won't be now. That's been moved down to UTAS Stadium in Launceston. And if Geelong fans were excited about returning to Cadinia Park, well, you're just going to have to hold your breath a little bit longer, because Geelong up against the Western Bulldogs will still be played at Cadinia Park, but no crowd will be permitted. That despite Geelong obviously being regional Victoria, no coronavirus cases down there, but still no crowd at Cadinia Park. Pretty disappointing if you ask me. Let's get to some of your calls, Matthew. Lloyd alongside me to Patterson's Lake. Chris, thanks for holding.
No worries. How are you going?
Yeah, really well. Go ahead.
I reckon with this new pandemic law that the Andrews government is trying to get in, unfortunately, I don't see any hope for sports or anything doing well in Melbourne again this year.
You've lost faith, Chris, in sport, and I guess a bit of normality returning.
Everything's getting stopped for, you know, less than for one or two cases. Businesses are going down. Sports, the AFL's now screwed. You know, all our games are being sent to interstate or wherever. How are you supposed to see any hope with this bloody government?
Chris, I'm with you on the AFL stuff. I think it's a massive balls up that they do not have crowds at AFL venues this week, even at 25%, Lloydie. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I've been sent. I was hoping this is exciting. A little fixture for my kids' footy, to restart this weekend. So community football, local football, all that as well. Like, it's just everyone needs it. Everyone needs it. So you're right. I'm just seeing devastation amongst the businesses. I just see it like absolutely everywhere. Like all sorts of businesses. So. Yeah, I don't think there's long to go, Shane, where it's just breaking if it hasn't already, it's breaking people by the day.
And I mean, you don't want to get too political on a sports show, Lloydie, but I think people were, willing to accept the lockdown. All right, there are community cases. We need to prevent the spread. Okay, we'll get our head around it again. But then the last few days for cases, everyone's in quarantine at the moment. There's no mystery cases around. It's just, measure after measure after measure, whereby we can't get back to normality. And sports is just such that social outlet. It's that physical outlet. It's what we love. We were deprived of it last year, and we're being deprived of it again.
Yeah, and then you've got speaking to a coach in Sydney, a mate of mine, he said, oh, we're living normally, and our government just handles it differently, but they're living like normal and things they're just getting on with it. So, I think that's what we need to do right now.
Chris, thanks for the call to Kilsyth. Evening to you, Paul.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Really good.
That's the story, mate. No, I've got 2 points. First point is congratulations to Nathan Buckley. What a way to go out. I mean, that's just fantastic. Okay. And my second point is on the hit on Hunter Clark. As far as adjudication, it should be called reckless. And the definition of reckless is heedless of danger or the consequences of one's actions. He knew what he was doing. I know that it's a game that we love to play, but you need to, in today's day and age, you need to toe the line. And he hit him, and he took him out, and he broke his jaw, and he has to suffer the consequences.
When you say you knew what he was doing, what do you mean by that?
Because he knew when he was going in for the hit.
I think he's going in to shield himself. Well,
he had his eyes on the ball. Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But he knew that if he didn't get the ball, he was going to hurt.
I just don't think you want to see players lead with their head. And I saw there was a situation where I'm trying to think of the Mansell against Joel Selwood. So Mansell led with his head. Joel Selwood, after years of experience, turned his body. And they asked Damien Hardwick about it. And Damien Hardwick said, I'm disappointed Mansell went that way. I want him to watch that and say, I'll never, ever lead. He goes, it might be a thing of COVID. We haven't put the time into them like we would have liked to. But he said, my player needs to learn that he can't go for balls like that. And I think Dave Mackay did what you'd teach young players to do. Otherwise, they're both going to lead with their heads and both be hurt.
The problem is, going into this past weekend, what Mackay thought he was doing was the right thing. He thought he was attacking that football with vigour. He had his hands on the football when the unfortunate collision occurred. He thought he was doing the right thing. However, it seems as though the AFL is changing the narrative to say that that is no longer the right thing. But I don't think David Mackay should have to pay the penalty for the fact the AFL wants to change the narrative this weekend.
And I think that we're going to continually, because it's football, there's always going to be head knocks. There's always going to be clashes. So I want Steve Hocking to come out and say, you know what, any head clash, any that creates a serious injury, you are gone. And I just think that it's brought upon more confusion with what's going on.
No, 100% concur. And the onus is on Steve Hocking to come out and say, what is the actual rule around head-high contact? And make it clear, not only for the players and coaches, but just as importantly for the fans as well. Cathy, we're going to come to you in a moment. Also, St Kilda fans, what on earth happened the other night in Cairns? We'll find out from Lloydie next, with thanks to McDonald's. You're listening to Sports Day.
Matthew Lloyd for McDonald's. The new McCafe blend. Coffee fit for an Aussie.
Lloydie, I want to ask you about St Kilda. Before we do that, let's head out to Cheltenham. Evening to you, Cathy.
Good evening. Congratulations to Bucks and his two boys. I thought that was fantastic. And congratulations to our captain. We're in two minds because I couldn't even sing the song. I lost my brother-in-law with brain cancer and he followed Melbourne, but we were still very happy that Collingwood won for Buckley.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely, Cathy. That's what footy is all about. There's a nice sentiment there, Cathy, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. I was talking to some Collingwood fans the other day, Lloydie, and they said, you know what, let's say Bucks was to get a job at Carlton. Let's say David Teesnell. Next year, Bucks goes to Carlton. They wouldn't begrudge him winning a premiership at all. Mm. That's just how they feel about Bucks.
Yeah, and it's been so rare. It's such a rare way to go out of it. You know, it ends pretty bitterly for most people.
Yeah.
So for Nathan to go out, it's been done with class from Collingwood's end, I think, and from Nathan's end. And so he'll be a Collingwood person forever. It's great that he's not leaving bitter. And they've just had an open and honest conversation that Graham Wright said, this is a 3 to 5 year build. Nathan, we don't think you're going to be the one to lead that build. Nathan said, okay, I understand that. That's your decision. But he hasn't been bitter about it. And he might take a year off. And if he has a passion for coaching, the way he's gone out and the person that he is, it'll be interesting to see if clubs come calling in about 12 months' time.
Would not be surprised at all if he was to be one of our colleagues in the media next year. Yeah. He did it back in 2008.
Yeah, he's very good.
As a stopgap. Wouldn't be surprised if he did that again next year in 2022. I've got to ask you about St Kilda. I did the match at the weekend. A capitulation as big as I've seen this year, probably only second to West Coast against Geelong down at Cadinia Park. They were all over them early. That second half was just pitiful. I saw you on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday. Carlton's having a review. Is it time for one at St Kilda?
Yeah, I raised that to get to the bottom of how things have turned so badly. I know they've got a lot of injuries and key players out, but so have other teams. And yeah, it's the way they're losing. Yeah, I saw them against Richmond. They were in the game for a period and they end up losing by 80 points. You know, so they're just rolling over. The Essendon loss was just an absolute belting. So Port Adelaide, it's the way they're losing. It would be really concerning. It's the lack of, I suppose, development coming through. I'd look at the way they've recruited. Did they get that wrong? So, yeah, it's from winning a final against the Western Bulldogs last year to where they currently are at. Yeah, I think the hard questions need to be asked.
Then there's Richmond. Thrilling match out west last night. They lead by as much as 22 points midway through the final quarter. Eagles kick the final four goals of the match to steal it away. Richmond, after their win against the Western Bulldogs, we were told, watch out the Wounded Tiger. You know, they are still the team to beat. You look at the stats, though. They've only beaten one team inside the top eight. They've played each of the other seven teams inside the top eight. The only one they've beaten is the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, it is concerning. The only thing I'd say is I don't reckon there's, after Melbourne today, you'd say, okay, everyone's having a few lapses here or there. For Richmond, they've got three winnable games. They've got St Kilda, Collingwood, and one other side in the next 3 weeks before they face Brisbane and Geelong.
And
Gold Coast, yeah. So what is it, St Kilda, Gold Coast, and Collingwood?
Collingwood and Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a good 3 weeks for them. It was such a hostile environment, and to lose by a kick or so, they didn't lose many admirers. So I think they're still playing okay. They're just not playing well enough for four quarters. They can't get consistency. If they get Tom Lynch back, Dion Prestia back in the team, plus a few others, they'll have to do it from outside the top eight this year for the first time, but I still think they're in the mix.
So let me ask you, before we take a break, I know your top seven's coming up. Melbourne showed they're vulnerable today. The Western Bulldogs have looked shaky at times. Geelong, for mine, are just sitting very pretty at the moment. Who's the premiership favourite for you at the midway point of this season?
That's a great question, Shane. I'll say, it was Melbourne. It was Melbourne right up until today.
Yep.
So I won't jump off them just yet. I'll look forward to seeing who have they got next week, Shane. You got that in front of you?
I think
Melbourne?
They've got the bye next week, the Demons. So bye next week. Blockbuster the week after. Essendon on a Saturday night at the MCG, fingers crossed, and then the Giants at the MCG.
Yeah, but yeah, so the worry for me is Melbourne's forward line. Obviously Tom McDonald, Bailey Fritch, can you trust them? Spargo, those sort of players. So yeah, I'll still say Melbourne just in front of Geelong.
Seems wide open for me. Your top seven right after this.
Matthew Lloyd's top seven for Kia's Sorento, drive car of the year.
All right, Lloydie, time for your top seven. Tell you what, an AFL club president has gone absolutely bang on Twitter. I'll get to that in a moment, but what have you got for us this week?
I've gone, Shano, top seven impact players. So not necessarily the best. Some of them are some of our best players, but impact players who can turn it on in the space of minutes and change the game. And it gave me the idea. He's not in it because he doesn't do it enough, but Jordan DeGoey gave me the idea. Okay, with what
he gave him the idea, and he doesn't even make the top.
He doesn't do it enough. He can do it, but doesn't do it enough. So number seven, I've got Flying Ryan, Liam Ryan, who can change the game very, very well with his marks and his goals. Number six, this guy is the difference between whether Geelong wins it or not. I think Jeremy Cameron. So Jeremy Cameron in big games has been very, very special.
That's a bit of pressure. Yeah, whether they win it or not is all on Jeremy Cameron.
They've shown they haven't been good enough, just haven't been quite good enough. And Jeremy could be the difference. Five, again, Toby Green. Whether they win or lose often depends on Toby Green. Number four, Nick Natanui. His last quarter was huge and I thought was the difference getting over the line against Richmond. Three, couldn't do it today, but Christian Petrarca has shown over the course of 18 months that he's a game breaker. Number two, Bontempelli. I think he may well win the Brownlow this year, but
I'm surprised he's number two.
Number one, when you win three Norm Smiths, he is the ultimate big game player, Dustin Martin. So he's my number one impact player. Not necessarily the best player. I think Bont's currently the best player at the moment, but Dusty's the biggest impact
Essendon
player.
Essendon fans, feel free to jump on Twitter and give it to Lloydie as to why Darcy Parrish didn't make the cut, but we'll talk about that another time. Just want to leave you with this from Jeff Kennett after it was revealed within the last hour that there will be no games in Melbourne next week. North Melbourne, Brisbane, Essendon, Hawthorn both moved to Tasmania, and that Geelong and the Western Bulldogs will be played in front of no crowd next weekend. Jeff Kennett says, who is running Victoria? Clearly not the government. No crowds at AFL matches next week. Look at Sydney today. Why not 25 or 50%? It's absurd. He then goes on to say, here we come, Tassie. Thank you for treating Victorians as adults. The Victorian government clearly hates its citizens, destroys Victoria's most important long weekend by prohibiting those in Melbourne to travel. He is angry. I get the feeling there will be a lot of footy fans tonight echoing similar sentiments. We've got to wait until at least round 15. Fingers crossed, Lloydie, because, again, the longer we have footy outside of Melbourne, members get antsy, clubs get antsy. They depend on this revenue that they didn't get last year.
Yeah, more lost jobs. More lost jobs everywhere. He'll win a lot of support with that tweet. Shaney is spot on.
He will indeed. Let's hope footy's back in round 15. This is Sports Day.